Wow. So wonderful. So wonderful. I love it. Lord, welcome back to church. He is so good. Just love what he's doing here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. What a time we live in. What a time. God knows what he's doing, and he's leading us in powerful and wonderful ways. Seems like he's just not around sometimes, but he's here. He's doing great things, even when it seems like he's not. Now, what's going to happen today? This is Pentecost Sunday. There's been a growing excitement in not just my heart, but definitely my heart, but all over the world there's been an excitement about Pentecost Sunday. Before service, I jumped on the internet to see if anything stupendous had happened, you know, and I didn't see anything. Does that mean he's not doing anything today? No. No, the little ember could have been dropped, and the fires could be starting all over, those fires that we heard about, beacons. And I believe something is starting today, something wonderful. And it's a delight here, because his spirit has come in a wonderful, joyous sort of a way. There's a sense of his spirit. So what happened on Pentecost? You know, just quickly, I want to go into some other things, but at Easter, we call it Easter, but it's Passover. They celebrated that the death angel passed over everyone that had the blood of the Lamb on the doors of their houses. That death angel did not check to see if the people inside qualified, did not see if those people were true believers. He just passed by if the blood of the Lamb was on the house. And it was the whole household. Right? There's a picture there for anybody who has prodigal kids. Prodigal parents. He's doing something. And we celebrate that. And then 50 days later, we celebrate Pentecost. Pentecost is... Penta is five. It's a festival of weeks, which is, you know, 7 weeks from the Passover. It's also the festival of the harvest, because it's the beginning of the wheat harvest. Barley harvest is a little earlier, but they call it Shavuot in Israel, and they've celebrated it for hundreds of years. And this is the time that God decided to start his church. The church wasn't started until Pentecost Sunday, 2,000 years ago, or you know, almost 2,000 years ago. Because the Holy Spirit, the prophesied Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit that Jesus blew into his disciples, arrived and filled, never to be removed again, filled each person in that room. Filled them to full. So it doesn't matter what the churches look like now, they can be empty, empty buildings, because we're full of the Holy Spirit. He's not leaving us. We have him in fullness, and he's been showing us that this whole time that the COVID-19 has been going on. And that very day, they had 3,000 people added to their to their numbers. 3,000. What a harvest. Celebrate the festival of harvest. The feast of harvest. What a day. So today we celebrate that. I just have a sense that he wants to do something wonderful. Do you want to stand for just a minute?
Yeah.
We're going to read about Jesus giving the disciples the Holy Spirit, and he breathed on them and released the Holy Spirit. So I just want to do that this morning. It's a prophetic act. Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus lives in me. But I think he wants to do something wonderful. So just be in receive mode. You can do this at home. Just be a part of this. Stand up and receive from the Lord right now. What I have received from the Holy Spirit and from Jesus my Lord, I now give freely to you. Freely you've received, freely give. Okay. You can sit down. Thank you, Lord. Did you feel the sense of his peace enter? Whoa. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to have David Snowden come in just a minute and read for us. But you know, I've tried to every Sunday that we've met during this time, and we've met every Sunday during this time. I've tried to kind of update what's happening and what is going on from my point of view. Not giving you all of my conspiracy theories, but just trying to hear what God's saying in it. There has been a distinct and planned, I believe, dissemination of information intended to bring fear. When it was announced that this virus had been released into the world, they said, I looked up the announcement, they said that 3.4% of the population would die because of it. Now that's a lot of people. Just in the United States, that's 11.9 million people that they were anticipating would die. They set up hospitals and shut down the entire world based on that. What it's turned out to be is 0.028%. So 100 times less, more than 100 times less than what they said it would be. There's still 100,000 people that have died in the United States, many of them from COVID, but there has been manipulation admitted, control admitted, agenda admitted during this time. So what are they up to? I don't know just yet. I have theories, but something is up. And I believe it is definitely pointed toward the Church of Jesus Christ. the persecution has started and will continue. They give us information and then they change the information. Now these are scientists. These are people that are supposed to be able to duplicate whatever they have found again and again and again. So they say, the centers of disease control and whatever else the rest of their title is, they said, you can get this stuff from surfaces. You got to clean everything, including your vegetables and the stuff you get from the store, and everybody's afraid. So you're, okay, let's do that. And then they release another statement that says, oh, doesn't look like you can. We kind of overshot that a little bit, and it, you know, it's got to be, you know, kind of right fresh. you're not going to get it from surfaces. So we're hopping to the other foot. Okay, I can go out. And then a week later, they say, oh, yeah, you can get it from surfaces. So what? What are you doing to us? These are scientists, careful people that we're told. What are they doing? They don't know what they're doing. Or if they do, they're despicable. And I have no qualms in saying that. But we can't trust what we're hearing. We cannot trust what's coming across the news. We cannot trust. What you can trust, however, is the Word of God. Amen. What you can trust is that Jesus is never going to change. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. Has that ever meant more than now? He is not changing. Not for the World Health Organization, not to cover up China, not to cover the CDC. He's not changing. His Word is true and right and reliable, and we can look to it all the time. David, would you like to come and read the Word? You want a mic or you want a glass of water?
Good morning. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. Jesus appears to his disciples. That evening, the disciples gathered together. And because they were afraid of the reprisals from the Jewish leaders, they had locked the doors to the place where they had met. But suddenly Jesus appeared among them and said, "Peace to you." Then he showed them the wounds of his hands and his side. And they were overjoyed to see the Lord with their own eyes. Jesus repeated this greeting, "Peace to you." And he told them, "Just as the Father has sent me, I am now sending you." Then taking a deep breath, he blew on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. I send you to preach the forgiveness of sins. The people's sins will be forgiven. But if you don't proclaim the forgiveness of their sins, they will remain guilty."
Thank you, David. Hallelujah. Thanks, Lord. F. Scott Fitzgerald, a famous writer, said one time, there are no second chances in life. There's no second act. You get to run through the first act of the play, and that's it. But I think that God is in the business of second acts. And that's not a pun about Acts 2. Although it just occurred to me that it's fun. He gives us other chances. And I believe that just like we heard this morning, there's a retooling happening during this time. A recommissioning. A You didn't get it the first time sort of question. Are you going to get it now? What is the priority in your life? And we had a prophetic word that came and said that what's in the hands is going to be magnified. So if the word of God is in your hands, it will be magnified. If the work of the Lord is in your hands, it will be magnified. But if you're doing sinful things, it also from here forward will be magnified. I believe. Because there is something about a watershed moment happening now. That this is the first day of the rest of your eternal lives. It was a good word, Nicole. So what are we going to do with that? You know, 6 or 7 weeks ago, I preached about God elevating us if we were willing to be elevated. It's so easy for God to raise us up to a new place, to raise us up to something new. The hard part is keeping it. The hard part is staying there, of avoiding the things that have always been there to trip you up, trip us up. What are we doing with it? Can we stay at the place that God is calling us to? He's called us to look at what he's doing. So let's just look at what he's got for us today. A second act in what's going on. Teddy Roosevelt was an amazing star in the New York legislature. But then his mom and his wife died on the same day when he was 25 years old. He found himself reeling and plunged into a depression. He went to to a ranch and spent as many as 15 hours a day riding horses and just clearing his head. What was important to him? And then one day, he said it felt like he had a release, and he started the second of his careers. So he worked as head of the U.S. Civil Service Commission. Then he went on to be New York City Police Commissioner. Next, he joined the U.S. Army, where his leadership qualities developed. You know, the... He's famous for leading the Rough Riders, not the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, the the Rough Riders in the Spanish-American Civil War, or Spanish-American War. He came back and he became New York governor, then vice president of the United States, and finally he was elected president. And now his likeness is on Mount Rushmore. He is one of the great presidents as far as they were concerned. But he's one who really felt like he had been marked with a loser tag. Someone who just couldn't measure up. But he rose up and had a second chapter. Amazing story. Does God do that often? Well, I think that the whole Bible is full of those kind of things. God giving people a second chance. But this morning we're talking about the disciples. The disciples. David read to us about these guys who, and gals, who had been following Jesus and were expecting the Messiah to be revealed, and what's going to happen? We're going to see the Romans kicked out, and we are going to have our homeland back, and everything's going to be milk and honey again. And then they saw Jesus tried, crucified, and he was buried. And they were all in trauma, I'm sure. They, all of their hopes and aspirations, all that they had desired, was dashed in one day. Jesus had not yet risen. They were locked on the inside in a room. Like, they put the lock on because they were afraid. Have you felt afraid during this last while? Have you felt the fear? It's okay if you have. It's okay. God understands those things. Doesn't mean that you haven't been full of faith. It's just what we've been listening to and where our heart is at the time. So these guys were traumatized. Yet Mary said, "I have seen the Lord." And eventually they saw him as well. As he appeared to them through the locked door. Wherever the barrier is in our lives, it's not a barrier to him. He can get through it. Hallelujah. He will meet you in whatever secret location you have. Whatever secret compartment of your life, of your heart, he will walk right in. Because our locks aren't anything for him. He's amazing. And he says to them, as he says to you today, peace to you. Peace. The Prince of the Kingdom of Peace gives you what his kingdom is known for. Peace. Not chaos. Not fear. Not doubt. Not trauma. But peace. He's so amazing. So the disciples are going to get a chance to have the second act of their play start. Every one of them had a vocation. They had jobs. But all of them willingly chose to follow Jesus. And this day made a difference. He talks about grief at that moment. The grief that they were feeling through the trauma was replaced by joy. In John 16, 20, let me just read it for you. John 16, 20. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament." This is before he was taken to the cross. "You will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy."
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. So their pain, their sorrow was turned to joy. Because here he is. Jesus isn't dead. He's here. He shows them the scars, the wounds that he has. Invites Thomas to touch them. Now, it doesn't say that he actually did. You know, I always thought he did, but when I was reading everything carefully this year, it doesn't say that he actually touched them. He just said, "Go ahead, touch him." Then he says, "Peace be with you." He says also, "As the Father sent me, so I send you," in verse 21 of what we read. Before they could completely process the good news of his life after death, they were commissioned to service. right away. There's something about getting on to the service of the Lord. Not waiting, but being active in it. And so there's three things I noticed in our readings today. The first one is action. Teddy Roosevelt got busy right away doing things. And Jesus ordered his disciples to jump even while they were cowering behind locked doors. He said, I send you, right before he pushed them into the world. A second act is an amazing thing. And Jesus will take every skill that you have learned along the way. Every one of the jobs that Teddy Roosevelt had were useful to him as he moved up this ladder. He was able to identify with people. He was able to use the skills that he had learned along the way, the leadership skills that he had learned, leading men into battle. He was able to use all of that. And God will use all that you have, all that you've learned to this time. And he will bring people along your way that need exactly what you have. He's amazing if you'll trust him in that. So there's an action part to it. It's not about sitting around waiting until he does something. It is so much easier to steer a moving vessel than it is a stationary one. They say, write your plans in pencil and give God the eraser. Proverbs says, man may plan his way in his heart, but God will guide his steps. But you notice you got to be stepping and moving to do it. God will not guide your couch time. He is so good. Second thing is power. And that's what I was so hoping for a release of today. So we have action, we have power. After he'd sent them out, Jesus breathed on them, received the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't want his disciples to begin their second act without power. He knew that it would be unfair of him to push them into action without giving them the gifts that they needed to achieve the purposes that he was calling them to. He gives us everything we need. And so he breathed on them and filled them with his Holy Spirit. He inspired them on that Passover Sunday with the very same Holy Spirit that would descend on the disciples in a rush of mighty wind the day of Pentecost. They were filled again with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would never, ever leave them again.
Hallelujah.
What a gift.
Hallelujah.
And he comes with all of his gifts. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have them all. You don't have to wait for them. They're all there. You may like some of them more and move in some of them more, or one of them or more of them, but they're all there. If you're in need, he can use you with all of the gifts. Amazing, amazing God. Notice the echoes of Scripture in this verse. When Jesus breathed on the disciples, they were reminded that God breathed life into Adam in Genesis 2. This breathing also recalled the book of Ezekiel, when God said, breathe upon these slain that they may live. You remember he breathed on the dry bones?
Yes.
Yeah. Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit on his disciples, and thus it's described as a second creation. They became new creations At that instant, they were baptized and born again. A new creation, a new being was created at that time, one that had never existed in the history of mankind, was created that day. The temple of the Holy Spirit with two legs. Not a stationary temple or tabernacle that was movable in the desert, but a movable, living temple. And he breathed into it and gave it life. New creation. Something that has not existed before became real. A new birth. So powerful. What's happened? Second act. Second creation. New life. New inspiration. That's the power of the risen Christ breathed into his followers. The third thing is forgive. You remember David read about that Jesus had empowered his disciples to forgive. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. In this verse, Jesus was empowering his followers to continue his mission in the world. Since the work of Jesus was all about the work of forgiveness, because sin was no longer an enemy, Jesus was into the reconciliation business, and that involves forgiveness of sins. Helping people to be right with God, then the work of his followers should be about forgiveness and helping people to be right with God. But what about the phrase, if you retain the sins of any, they are retained? That's a troublesome one. There are a number of schools of thought, but one that I particularly like at this point in my life is one possibility is that you can offer people forgiveness, but you can't force them to take it. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Right? So you can offer people forgiveness, but if they don't take it, then they continue to deal with the consequences of their sins, and they struggle to be right with God on their own strength. But forgiveness is available to all. So good. He is so good. Now the disciples have entered the second act involving action, power, and forgiveness, those three things. The risen Jesus sent them on a mission, filled them with the power of the Holy Spirit, and gave them the ability to forgive sins and to help people become right with God. That very same is true for each one of us. Everything that they received, we have received as well. And he's called us to action, given us the power, and allows us to give away forgiveness. It's the same way he did with the disciples. Will we move with that in this time? The world is so desperate for it. Because you don't have to be a genius to have watched what's gone on and doubt the authorities. Each of them have their own agendas. Each of them have their own plans and purposes. And it's not just Christians that are able to decipher that. People are thinking, and they don't have anywhere that they could turn to. If they trusted the government before, they're not trusting it now. I was standing in line with to get my hair cut last week. Nice, eh? and before me in the lineup, we're standing outside the barber shop in a line down the road, and equally 6 feet apart. And we're talking, the guys around me, none of them are Christian. Some are Muslim, some are Sikh, some are agnostic. And they're talking about this whole thing. And what I got out of it was that there is no trust here. They don't know who to trust. They definitely don't trust people, because they're trying to avoid them. They don't trust the government. They don't trust the scientific community anymore, because they can't make up their minds. Who do they trust? I invited them to check out the Bible, because it hasn't changed, and another guy wanted to get me to read the Quran, but told him I read it, and it was too violent for me. He says, you think the Quran's violent? You should read the Bible. That's true. But he's about moving through his people now, because he can be trusted. He is the steady voice. He is the loving voice. He is the voice of peace. You see the fires and the demonstrations and the stuff that's happening around definitely America these past couple of nights. It's troublesome, but it's gone beyond what it was originally called for and become just anarchy in its way. It's not about the sick and disgusting unnecessary death of a man, which was what it was called to demonstrate against, and it's pushed that aside. That's no longer the issue. It's anarchy, it's destruction, it's let the world know that we're not happy. And there's something wrong with that. The world, that's pushing fear into the world again. Now, who's in charge of all of that? You make up your own mind. Our choice right now, and the call on us right now, is who are you going to believe? Where are you spending your quality thought times? Is it trying to research and find out who's right and who's wrong? And they're all wrong. All of them. All of those ones that are trying to fill you up. Because they miss one point, that it's all about God. Ultimately, it's about God. It's about Jesus. And those that are trying to push him out, and those that are saying, no, he's the one. He is the one on whom you can stand, the solid rock that you can stand on and trust his word. Amen. You can't trust the word of the news agencies. I read and tried to follow up that Fox News, which has been trying to give the right hand of the political spectrum news, Bill Gates has made an offer to buy them that they just can't turn away. It's too lucrative. So. Who do we trust? Jesus. Jesus. Jesus is the one we trust. His news is good and true. You want a news broadcast? Read the book of Mark. It reads like a bang, 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 bang action novel. This is it, and this is happening. We can no longer take the Bible and make it a loose leaf book. Oh, I don't like the Old Testament. It's gone. I don't like anything that doesn't have red in it. It's gone. I don't like the book of Revelation. It's gone. I don't like what Paul says. It's gone. It's all good. And it's all trustworthy. Genesis to Revelation, it's all Him. The Holy Spirit breathed on men to write it down. Well, Pastor, you can't trust it. It was written by men. Well, so was every darn thing on the internet, and you're trusting it. That's the difference. Breathed on by the Holy Spirit. You can trust it, and you can trust Him. Elder Pastor Ron, do you think you could wind this up for us? You feeling like there's something in there? It's on. It's green, so it should.
It's green, there it is. Yeah, there was lots in there.
No, a lot I'm preaching about next week.
Thank you, Lord. So, action, power, forgive. Through the whole service, the word was coming to me, purpose. Just heard the word purpose, and I think it all lines up with that. I think it's important that we have to always remember the church. The church is not the building, it's us, it's the people. We are the church. And I think a lot of people, you know, when they talk about the church, they don't really get that right. With what Pastor Randy was talking about, I had a dream last night, and it's a pretty crazy dream, but I think it's significant. In my dream, Bonnie and I were invited out, or we were asked to go to the flea market. So we said, okay, let's go. So we were going to the flea market. And I used to go to them quite a bit, and I used to enjoy it, you know, look over things. And it was an opportunity to talk to people and sort of like you sort of figure out what the thing is that they're interested in. And with that, I would just trust the Holy Spirit to lead me into a conversation with Him. So anyway, we're on our way to the flea market, and we got to where the flea market was. And we drove up there, and there was like hundreds of thousands of people. It was just huge, and there was like a road going down this way and a road that way. So we parked, and we started to walk up to the market. And as we got closer, I didn't see a lot of stuff on the tables, but there was people there. So we got closer, and here, it was a flea market. It was a literal flea market, fleas. And people were set up with their tables, and one had like a swimming pool, and they had their fleas in the swimming pool. Another one, it was like a circus. And there was people that were trading fleas, and some of them had the purebred fleas, and these people were so into it. And I'm looking, and I can't even see these things. And they had names for them, and there was just miles of tables, and all these people were wrapped up in it. And after a while, like, I talked to this one guy, and he says, oh, yeah, I travel all over the country, and, you know, I use this as an opportunity to talk to people about the gospel. And I'm thinking, just a minute, like, it just was not clicking, it's just so empty. And Bonnie had gone someplace else, and finally I left there, and I walked down the road, and I met Bonnie, and she's just shaking her head. And I woke up right after that, and I'm thinking, wow, it's sort of a picture of what's happening a lot in the world right now, because, like, here's these people wrapped up with fleas. They're so insignificant, and I guess, you know, if you really set your mind to it, you could spend your life doing that if you really want to. But anyway, with that, I just woke up, and the word purpose came to me. And then today, that the word was resounding again in my heart. And I believe that's what God is wanting to say to us in the church too. What are we spending our time doing? Are we just trying to train fleas, or what? I believe that the word then too was about
My notes are all over the place here. Recommissioning. And I believe that that's what God is doing. And the Word of God says that my people perish without a vision. And I believe that God is going to be doing that in the hearts of his people, that we're going to get a real, true, new vision for the kingdom. And what is my purpose in it? What am I called to do? What's my calling in it? So I believe that God wants to do that in our hearts, that we're not just spending our lives insignificantly trying to raise fleas or train fleas for the circus or whatever. So, Father, just thank you, Lord, that it's in you that we find our purpose. Yes. And there's really nothing on this planet that is significant except for you. It's all about you. You give our lives purpose. You give our church purpose. Yes. And Father, there's so many people right now as they've been caught up with the fear. And here they are now trying to find out where do they fit in. What's my life about? Where am I going? But Lord, we just pray that in the days to come, that your church, Father, that you cause us to walk in that place that you've built into us, that we are your voice, we're your hands, your feet, that we would go in boldness to speak the gospel, to speak hope to people that don't have hope, and to help to walk alongside of people, that they would begin to think about, why am I here? What is my real purpose? So, Father, we just thank you today for your word. Let our hearts be encouraged with it, Lord God. And that for those that couldn't make it here today, there's quite a few, less than 50. But we thank you, Lord, that we can be gathered together. And for all of those at home, just bless you. And we pray that today that you would, each one would come into a deeper walk with Jesus Christ. And that today where maybe someone's hurting, there's pains, there's sickness, that today that you would be touched by the healing virtues of Jesus Christ. With that, too, I just want to thank all those that have been praying for my wife. She came down with pneumonia. She was in the hospital for a week, and she's home now, doing better. But, yeah, thank the Lord. She's still weak, but even today she's made a point of, she's teaching Sunday school to our grandchildren. But while she was in the hospital, she was tested 3 times for COVID. Like, it's like they're trying to find it. It was just crazy. But anyway, she's home and doing well. So Lord, just continue to touch all those that need a touch from you. Father, again, that your church be encouraged. And Lord, that today, each one of us, Father, as we draw close to you, we would know our purpose in you, Father. So we thank you now, Lord. We ask you to bless your people. And the Lord says to each one to go in peace today. In Jesus' name.